Okay, we're getting a bounce in Bitcoin, quite a big bounce in Bitcoin. It's not only Bitcoin, it's Bitcoin, it's the altcoins, as you can see over here. It's the stocks, as you can see over here. The NASDAQ is up, the futures up 1.6%. The good news is I think that this bounce has a lot of legs and it's going to continue up until a certain level, which I'm going to show you, up until a certain level and a certain date. But be careful, because after that, I think we could dump again. And I'm going to show you why I think we could dump again. So good news is this bounce may actually continue. It may actually run for quite a while. Show you exactly today, but it may actually dump again. If that sounds good to you and you want to hear all my reasoning behind that, what I need you guys to do is subscribe to the channel, obliterate the like button, and I'm going to get the alpha on the road. So let's get going. I'll say this, we deserve a bounce. It's been a long time since we deserve a bounce. I'm actually going to show you one data point that almost confirms that we're going to get a pump now. One very specific data point, like one of the biggest data points that I've seen, one of the most exciting data points that I've seen, that shows why I think we're actually going to get a proper bounce this time. But the question is, what will happen after that bounce? What will the market go back to where we started? What's going to happen after that bounce? That's what we're going to be talking about today. And I've got a lot of alpha for you guys today. So if you're here for the first time, subscribe and obliterate the like button. If you're here, if you're one of the regulars, if you like Bloomin' Crypto or Crypto Cathy or Adrian Webster or all these people that are out of here, Colombian G, if you guys are here, just good to see you guys again. Lots of alpha going to happen today. I see everybody in the chat. Anyway, you guys do what you need to do. I'm going to do what I need to do. Lots of alpha to talk about today. Let's get into it. So we are having a market bounce. It's not only crypto. You can see the NASDAQ is actually leading this bounce up 1.5%. The crypto bounce started when the futures opened last night. So when the NASDAQ futures opened last night, that's when the crypto bounce started. And the reason why this bounce actually started is because Trump seems to have delayed his tariff plans again, right? You know, the tariffs were supposed to come in on, they were supposed to come in on the 2nd of April. And the whole market has basically been paralyzed waiting for these tariffs to kick in. And that was what will happen. But now it seems that Trump has actually softened when it comes to these tariffs, right? So Trump's position has now softened. The softening of the position didn't actually come directly from Trump, but actually came from Scott Bessent when he was on an interview with Maria Bartiromo on Fox. And you'll listen to what he says.
What I want to say is that President Trump has identified several critical industries that we let get away from us. We have to have a steel industry. We have to have an aluminum industry. He wants to bring back manufacturing to the United States. And we are putting these tariffs on. So with critical industries, we are going to bring that production back home. As far as it goes with reciprocal tariffs, President Trump, as only he can do, has created a win-win situation. We are going to, on April 2nd, we're going to produce a list of other countries' tariffs, and we are going to go to them and say, look, Here's where we think the tariff levels are, non-tariff barriers, currency manipulation, unfair funding, labor suppression. And if you will stop this, we will not put up the tariff wall. If you do, then we will put up the tariff wall to protect our economy, protect our workers, and protect our industry. So, again, it's win-win. Either the trade friction that these other countries have come down and we get fair trade, and if they don't follow President Trump's lead, then he will raise the tariff wall. And as he said in that video, we're going to take in substantial revenues. We're already taking in substantial revenues from the China tariffs that can be used to fund this massive.
So what you can see is that Trump has actually softened his stance. What he's basically said is he's gone from this blanket, we're going to impose tariffs on everyone, to saying, hold on a second, wait. If you do this and if you do that, and we're going to produce a list, and the list is going to have reciprocal tariffs, and then we're going to start negotiating. And actually, if you think about what's going on here, it's part of Trump's plan. Like, Trump's got this plan. And in the plan, what Trump basically says is, he says, look, it's a tactic. And the tactic is that what you do, and you can only do this if you really have the upper hand, right? You can't do this if you don't have the upper hand. But if you really have the upper hand in a negotiation, if you're really the stronger party, then what you can do is you can make the other party think or feel what's going to happen if something happened, right? So in this case, because Trump is the because Trump has the upper hand, he made all the other nations feel through projections how much these tariffs are going to hurt them. And once they've truly felt what these tariffs are going to do to them, then he says, okay, look, now that you've actually felt the pain, we're not just talking about it, you've actually felt the pain for a month. You've lived with a cloud over your head for a month of what these tariffs are going to be like. You've seen how your markets have suffered. You've seen how your currencies have suffered and whatever else. Then you go back to them and you say, look, I can take all this pain away. And how do you take the pain away? Well, just be open to our negotiations. Just come to the negotiating table with us. And that is pretty much the Trump tactic. Now, the truth is, A, you can only do this if you're the stronger party. The second thing, and in this case, the United States is. The second thing is, you can't do this too often. Problem is that if you end up doing this too often, the problem is that the next time you do it, it has much, much, much less of an effect. And the next time it has much, much, much less of an effect. And we're already seeing that with Trump, right? So if you look at this tweet over here, this is a Truth Social post that Trump posted on the weekend around the Trump meme coin, right? The Trump shitcoin, right? I'm not going to call it a shitcoin because we actually like Trump, but the Trump meme coin, right? And what you can see is in the old days, that would have pumped the token by 50%. Now, I mean, that's the pump that it had. That's literally the pump that it had. You can see, I mean, that's the pump that the president tweeted about his own meme coin. And that is the pump that it had. And it's going to be the same thing with these tariff talks. At some point, the market's going to realize that Trump keeps threatening tariffs, but that he's not actually very serious about getting the tariffs to work. And then he's going to have to devise another plan to get these people to the negotiating table and to get them specifically to get them to listen to him around doing anything that he needs to get done around the economy. So again, it's a good tactic, and it has been a good tactic, and it is one that we spoke about. If you are the stronger party, which in most cases the US is, but don't do it too often, because if you do, you know what's going to happen. Anyway, be that as it may. So we have a pump. We must celebrate the pump. We deserve the pump. I mean, it's been a long time since we've had a day like this. And it's great. You can't have markets that just go up or just go down in a straight line. When the market's going down, you need some kind of pump. And when the market's going up, you need some kind of dump. That's just basically how it works. Someone calls it a mini pump. Look, this pump was very, 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 very overdue, because we're nearing the end of Q1. We are 1 week away from the end of Q1. And if Q1 were to end today, it would be an abysmal, abysmal, abysmal Q1. I mean, just look at this Q1. Specifically for ETH. ETH hasn't had such a bad Q1 since 2018. And that didn't go so well. In 2018, wasn't a great year for ETH. And so it hasn't been, for Bitcoin less. I mean, Bitcoin in Q1 is negative 6.6%. We've had 1, 2, 3, 4 Q1s, which have actually been worse than this. As someone says, Nibor says, respect the pump. You must respect this pump. You must enjoy this pump, because things don't go down in a straight line. Don't go up or don't go down in a straight line. The other part of the good news here is that this pump has basically taken us above the 200-day moving average, the simple moving average for Bitcoin. That's quite a big level. You want to be beating this level, right? And so this is one of those pumps that has taken us over this fundamental technical level, if you want to call it that, right? But I wouldn't be popping champagne just yet, which is exactly what MM Crypto says. The reason why I wouldn't be popping champagne just yet, this is one level that we've actually bounced, but we need to make a higher high. You want to make a higher high, you kind of want to get above 92,830. That's like, or even you could say 95,000. That would, for me, say that we have broken this market structure and we've actually become bullish. Until then, you got to watch out that this is not just a little market trap. And I suspect that it could be a market trap. And I'll show you in a couple of seconds when I think we'll know for sure if this is a trap and what will be the telltale sign that actually says it. But as I say, we celebrate these things, because if we are about to go underwater again, I'm not sure whether we're going to go underwater soon or not, but if we are about to go underwater again, you know, like when someone's pushing your head underwater, right? And then you lift up and you get a breath of air. This is the time where you got to take a breath of air. This is the time where you got to sell into the pump. This is the time where you get ready and you brace yourself for what is potentially another leg down. If the other leg down doesn't come, no problem. But this is the time when you actually land up doing it. So you don't want to go down in a straight line. That's an unhealthy market. That's a market where usually people intervene. we want to get this healthy market structure correction on the way down. The other reason why I'm not getting very, very, very excited about this market pump yet is because it's actually a lot of it is based on futures demand and not spot demand. And so this is one of those pumps where you know that it's a pump that is almost setting itself up to be a dump. You know, like let's trap them, let's get them in, and then let's flush out the leverage in the next a dump. And the same thing is happening in TradFi, right? It's Trump playing this game where he's going down, and then he's going to come up and then flush down again. When do I think this gets invalidated? I think if we go above 95. If we go above 95, then I'm going to change my tune and I'm going to say, hold on a second, maybe this is actually a real pump. But until then, I'm trading very, 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 very cautiously. And the reason why I'm trading very, very, very cautiously is because I'm like Elio here, and I think I see there's a bull side and there's a bear side. The bull side is your emotions talking. Your emotions are saying, look, sentiment feels like there's no ways it can go lower. Yes, it can. Sellers have already sold. Don't worry. When the prices go down, more sellers will sell. Market due for relief rally. I agree. Tariffs priced in. Yeah, probably they are priced in. There is all the bullish signs on the horizon. I agree. The bear side here says you have to take a thesis. Our thesis, or specifically my thesis, is that Trump is a man on a mission. His mission is to get interest rates down. The way to get interest rates down is to scare people and to take out to ruin investor confidence. It is working. The market's starting to price in 3 rate cuts this year. We need to get this down to 4 or 5 before the job is actually done. So right now, we have 3 priced in. I mean, you could say 3, but it's by a ball here because... Oh, you can't say bald hair. It's by a pube. And the reason... You can't say that on YouTube, bro. So anyway, you can't say that because you can see this December one, like it can come and go very, very, very quickly. So you've got to have a thesis, right? My thesis is the following. My thesis is Trump has a job to do. The job is not done. The job will probably be done sometime around May or June. And so right now, the truth is, I'm not that positive that we're going to just go up and up and up and up. And so I'm using this bounce to sell out of stuff that I don't really want to have in my portfolio and to switch it into stuff that I really do want to have in my portfolio. I'm using this bounce to escape any trades that I'm caught in that are not great, right? And I'm sticking to my thesis that until further notice and until there's a change in the market structure, that this could actually flush me out. This could actually flush me out. And so I'm doing very little buying, or I'm supposed to do very little buying. The truth is, though, that specifically when it comes to good quality alts and specifically when it comes to TradFi plays, I actually have started buying. And the reason why I've started buying is very similar to this thesis by Cold-Blooded Chiller, where he says, I have no idea where we bottom or how long it is. But the maximum drawdown for Bitcoin for the past 2 years has been -33%. That's the past 2 years. He could have taken it longer. He could have said the past 3 years or 5 years, and he would have got a 55% drawdown. We've done 30%. He says Tesla's down 55%. Nvidia's down 30%. AMD's down 60%. And he's comfortable to start buying at these levels. And to be honest, I actually agree with him here, where there are certain things which are probably worth buying. Tesla is one of those that I actually have started accumulating. And even though like I kind of feel there's another leg down, just in case there isn't another leg down, I'm starting to buy into some of these today, right? So I am starting to do a little bit of buying, not a lot, because I don't like actually buying pumps, but I am doing a little bit of this buying. As I say, we don't always, sometimes we have a thesis, but we don't stick to the thesis 100%. I've got to be honest, we know that, right? And to be honest, I actually broke down a lot of my thinking around how we create these theses and stuff like that on a podcast, which I did with Kevin from When Shift Happens. Now, I don't know if you guys have watched it. If you haven't watched it, my suggestion is that you go watch it. There is a link for you guys. Let's have a look here. Let's look here. I'll show you. So there is a link for you guys right here, which actually takes you to that podcast. It's quite a long podcast, but it really shows you how we think when we make these videos and stuff like that. So that's over here. Just click on it. And while you're there, just subscribe and just mention to Kevin that we sent you there. So, you know, he knows that we are supporting him. Got a very, very, very good podcast. Anyway, be that as it may, I do think that this bounce is going to get quite aggressive. And the reason why I say I think that this bounce is going to get quite aggressive is because I think that this part of the sell cycle is finished, right? So when you have a dip, you have a dip, you have an up, you have a dip, you have an up, you have a dip. It's very rare that unless something breaks that you go straight down. And I think that for the first part of the dip, I think the sellers are exhausted. And I think that you can see that when you look at the stock market and when you look at the on-chain data. So if you look here at the on-chain data, what you can see is that over the past 3 months, aggressive Bitcoin selling has noticeably decreased, which means that the sellers are actually starting to get pretty exhausted, right? And you can see the same thing here. You can see it here in the volume, is the decline in the volume, as Rekt Capital points out. And this decline in the volume says that basically this cohort of sellers have become exhausted, right? And now there's a new cohort of sellers that need to come into the market. And so I think that what you're getting here is you're going to get an aggressive bounce. Now, where does this bounce go? I'll show you in a second. But I do think that this bounce can last for quite a while, and it can actually get pretty aggressive. And it was actually very overdue, right? This is the data point that I look at to tell me that this bounce was very overdue. It comes from a guy who's the founder of Athena. And he's looking obviously at leverage yields or leverage funding rates. And the reason why that's such an important thing is because it shows the interest in the market to taking leverage positions, which means that it shows the risk appetite of the market as a whole. And what he's saying in the last 2 years, we've only had two periods where funding has been below the risk-free rate. In other words, the amount of money that you can get for providing liquidity to people who want to take leverage is below the risk-free rate, which is like 4%, 5%. He said, as of last Friday, we recorded the third period. However, if you look at the other two periods when this happened, both of them were followed by a massive, massive, massive gain. And that's pretty logical. And it is a metric that you should be tracking, is the funding rates. When you get low funding rates for a long period of time or negative funding rates for a low period of time, generally, what happens if the market survives, and of course, this market's going to survive and survive forever. Generally, what happens is the market actually bounces quite a bit from there. So you can see that he's watching the yields. Obviously, he's watching the yields because that's pretty much the Athena business model. But for us, we watch this to say, this is probably a good time to be buying, and we're going to get a spike. Now, where does the spike go? I've got to be honest. I think I kind of back Arthur Hazier, although I think that 110,000 sounds a little bit aggressive, right? Colombian flu. I was the only one who never went to the party. I'm the only one who has got Colombian flu. I didn't go to the party. So I think we get a bounce. I don't know if it gets as aggressive as 110,000, right? But I do think that the biggest event right now on the calendar is the April 2nd deadline. And the reason why I said the April 2nd deadline, or as we approach the April 2nd deadline, is because that's the tariff deadline. And the tariff deadline is a buy the news, buy the event, or sell the event type deadline. No one knows what's going to happen until April 2nd. People are speculating that whether Trump's going to add tariffs, not add tariffs, et cetera, et cetera. And now we can see that the 2nd of April is the D-Day. So as we approach the 2nd of April, I think that can give us confirmation around whether this pump is going to continue or not continue. As I think that this pump and dump is actually tariff and trade war related. And so as we approach the 2nd of April, I think we're going to get clarity as to what happens here. The next couple of days are going to be volatile because there's going to be a lot of tug of war on the news outlets. There's going to be a lot happening on the news outlets. And when we get those things on the news outlets, it's going to drive markets up and down. So be very, 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 very careful trading this environment. The reason again is, if you look at the pump is driven by leverage. When the pump is driven by leverage and there's going to be lots of news and there's low liquidity in the markets, that's when these guys start to get wrecked. To be honest, unless you are trading very, very, very low leverage, I would stay out of leverage for the next couple of days and I would wait for confirmation. And the truth is that if we break this higher high, if we get a higher high here and a higher high here, then I would start putting a little bit more chips on the table. I'd put a few more chips on the table. But otherwise, be really, really, really careful of this bounce, even though it can be quite a big bounce. It can take us over $100,000. I'd be really, really, really careful. And what we're also seeing is we're also seeing that there is a little bit more appetite to risk assets. If you look at like the one metric that I use around an appetite to risk assets, is I look at Fartcoin. And Fartcoin for me is one of those things that says, if there's appetite for risk assets, this is the most reflexive asset, right? So if you do think there's going to be a bounce, this is probably something to trade. If you don't think that there's going to be, if you think there's going to be a dip, this is probably something to short. So it's like, for me, this is the risk indicator of the market. You think that the market's going to continue, buy Fartcoin. You think the market's going to crash, or when you think it's getting a little bit euphoric, short Fartcoin, because this is, to me, going to be the most reflexive in the market. Right now, as it stands, for a trade, nothing else but a trade, I would be long Fartcoin. That's basically where I'd be, because hot air can rise for the short term. So I think that's where I'd be looking. In between now and the 2nd of April, we have a couple of data points coming out. One of the most important data points that is coming out between now and the 2nd of April is the GDP numbers, right? So the GDP numbers are coming out on Thursday. The Thursday is the... What is the date on Thursday? Monday is the 24th. Thursday, 28th, right? 27th. 27, you're right. You're right, Josh. You're right. Congratulations, Josh. So, huh? Oh, was that a way to sneak in that it's... Guys, will you remind me on the show on Thursday, on Friday, that it's Joshua's birthday on Thursday? Also, let me know what you think we should buy him in the comments. The best idea wins. Type in the chat. Everybody, look for a post from Andre Tudor. Let's see. Yeah, they're good friends. So I want to see what we actually buy, Josh. A Cartier watch. Bro, be in a bear market, bro. Isn't a Cartier watch is in a bear market? Yeah. Okay, so between now and the 2nd of April, there is one major reading that's coming out. Very, very, very big reading for us. What is the reading? It's the GDP numbers, right? Now, there's a problem with these GDP numbers. They are confusing the market like crazy. Because the Atlanta Fed came out and revised their GDP number estimate. This is crazy. They were like up 4%. Then they went negative minus 2.8%. Now they're minus 1.8%. It's like they don't even know what's happening. And that's scaring the markets here. And to make things worse, like when you hear the Trump cabinet speaking, just listen to what Howard Lutnick said to Maria Bartiromo.
We've seen worries about growth. I know you said you're not expecting a recession, but investors are on edge over the possibility of a recession this year after the Atlanta Federal Reserve said that it's predicting a 2.4% contraction in the first quarter. And of course, President Trump would not make
Wait. Say that again. A what?
The Atlanta Federal Reserve.
2.4% contraction?
Correct. First quarter.
Okay, right here, right now. That is ridiculous.
Okay. Have you spoken to the president of the Atlanta Federal Reserve?
So he's saying there's no way that the economy shrank 2.8%, but there's something here in the data, and the something in the data actually came out of the All In podcast with Scott Bessent that the besties did, right? I want you to listen to this. Just listen.
One thing that struck me about, I think, this Trump 2.0 administration is, I think you have a better beat on the fact that this data is not as reliable as other administrations would say they were, in order to do whatever it is they wanted to do anyway. So it's sort of like, let me just find the data that justifies what my action is. And part of why you can't, I think, tell this story is, do you trust the GDP numbers? Do you trust non-farm payrolls? Do you think these are reliable enough for you to act on behalf of the United States?
No, look, they're subject to big revisions over time. And I thought one of the big mistakes the Biden administration made, and thank goodness they made it, was they refused to vote. They went with the numbers, not what the American people were feeling. They said, no, it's a vibe session, and you really don't understand how good you have it. You know, this has happened. When in reality, I was on Meet the Press.
I mean, the politicians themselves, the people that are supposed to be making these numbers or giving us these numbers, they now saying to us, look, we don't really trust these numbers. To make things worse, generally in an election year, the party in control tries to make the economy more powerful than it is during the voting period. And the reason for that is they try and spend. They try to pass all the budget spend. There's two reasons for it. One, they want to grow the economy and they want to put more money into circulation so that people feel richer. But the second reason why they actually do this is because they, how do I word it? They want to spend the last of the money in case they get voted out. They want to spend the last of the money and give it to all these initiatives, right? So right now, what the GDP numbers, the previous GDP numbers could have been falsely inflated, not by data manipulation, but by a previous administration just exacerbating spend or making spend much more aggressive in the last part of their term. And so after that happens, the next quarter is always going to be weaker, right? Because like you spend a lot in the one quarter and then the next quarter you go back to normality and the next quarter can actually be much, much, much weaker. Anyway, so those are short-term things. That happens between now and the 2nd of April. Lots of volatility between now and the 2nd of April. I think the volatility actually takes us up, which is great. Like you want volatility that actually takes you up. But be careful not to get flushed. Be careful not to get flushed. I do think that we're going to get an aggressive pump. But be careful not to actually get flushed in this market. In the slightly longer term, and again, I think that I've said before, I think that this pretty much all ends in around May, June. So I don't think that, like, you don't have to weather a lot of this. You're talking about like 60 to 90 days of this volatility. And then I think we go into up only season, because then I think we align back with the fundamentals, with the bigger fundamentals, which is not what, you know, when I say bigger fundamentals, Trump commenting on tariffs for me is not a fundamental. Like that is a negotiation tactic. And in my opinion, the market shouldn't actually even be responding to that shit, but it does because, you know, markets are markets, right? After that, I think that there's a lot to look forward to. And the reason why I say there's a lot to look forward to, number one, you got the global M2 money supply, which has bottomed. You got gold, which has hit all-time highs. And we know that gold goes on a run often before Bitcoin goes on a run. And I think that anyone who makes portfolio moves now in anticipation of these moves, those are the guys that are going to get called lucky, right? That in South Africa, there's a lot of people that actually just are called lucky because it's one of the African names and you can be called lucky. So the people that are going to get called lucky are the people that are born in Africa and in Greece. Actually, I've got a friend, his name is Lucky. You know that? In Greece, you can have lots of luckies. So the people that are going to be called lucky are the people that actually make moves in this thing. And I think that there's a lot of things happening under the hood that we're not, people are not focused on, because in a market that's moving down, I hate to use the word bear market because it's a very short bear market, but in a very short bear market, people don't listen enough to the news to know what's coming up. And I think one of the big things that people aren't talking about enough is this adoption of stable coins and how much the US is going to start encouraging the adoption of stable coins. And the reason why they want to do this is because they want dollar denomination. So Stock Besson said, he said, we are going to keep the US dominant, the dominant reserve currency in the world, and we'll use stable coins to do that. Can I just imagine that you're not talking about stable coins that have a market cap of $232 billion. And now the US is basically saying, look, we know that we're going to have to make, we're going to have to make that much, much, much bigger if we want world domination. And so I think that what you're getting here is you are going to get $1 trillion of stable coins on the market very, 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 very soon. Now you may say, okay, well, that's great. I can't make money on stable coins. And I think, yeah, to a greater or less extent, you can't. But when then when there's $1 trillion on chain, on $2 trillion on chain, and the chains actually start to be used and the transactions on the chains actually start to be used, and people realize that, hold on, these blockchain things are actually working really, really, really well to settle transaction, then I think you're going to get a true explosion. So this is one of the most bullish, bullish, bullish pieces of news that's out there. And we can't react on it now. I get it. We can't react on it now. And that's a problem for us. But when you can react to it, You can buy things like Solana, you can buy things like Tron, even though I don't think it's going to be built on Tron. You can buy things like BNB. You can buy things like even some of the Ethereum and the Ethereum layer twos, because remember, first it's USD onto chain, and then it is tokenization of assets on chain. And as much as I love Solana, you know, I'm like the biggest Solana bull in the whole wide world. The truth is, Fidelity has filed to register a blockchain version of its US dollar market fund on Ethereum specifically. And so I do think it's BlackRock's on Ethereum, and I think that Fidelity's on Ethereum. So I do think Ethereum does have like one pump or another pump during the cycle. That's one of the ones that's actually going to have another pump during the cycle. I also think that if you look at like Howard Lutnick, and he's very, very, very close to the president, and he said this, he said, I want to make the USA 2 trillion. He says, I own 1 billion of MicroStrategy, 200 million of Bitcoin, and I have the authority from the president to buy more Bitcoin in a budget neutral fashion, right? Now, how do you buy Bitcoin in a budget neutral fashion? Well, you sell gold and you buy Bitcoin. That's one way of doing it. The other way of doing it is you audit the Fort Knox. And once you audit Fort Knox, you realize that gold's missing, and then you transfer everything into Bitcoin. So I do think that that's also on the horizon. I mean, we also got these that came from Bo Hines, who's the executive director of the President's Council of Advisors. And they're saying, look, we may actually sell gold to actually land up buying Bitcoin. And so I do think that there's all these good things in the horizon. And I think buyers that act now, whether this bounce takes you to Valhalla or whether you land up holding for slightly longer, 60 or 90 days, I do believe that the ultimate destination is Valhalla. And I do think that by the end of the year, we've definitely got an all-time high. And we've definitely gone, I think we'd go way over 150,000 on Bitcoin by the end of the year. So that is when it comes to Bitcoin. When it comes to altcoins, as I said, Fartcoin kind of leading the altcoin race, but there's a lot of other green bubbles that are actually happening. You can see them today. So you've got Sonic. You know, the reason why Sonic's running, I mean, I don't have to tell you this, but it is the ultimate right now. It's in the L1 race. It's in the fast L1 race. It's in the L2 race. It's in the stablecoin race. Now Andre's come out and said, pretty sure we've solved the algo stablecoin problem. That's another one of the reasons. One of the other ones that's moving, and I think you need to pay attention, I did post this on the Front Runners group earlier, right? And that's AVAX. So what you can see is that AVAX is actually starting to move. Big green candle over here, right? This big green candle on AVAX, you know what it tells me? Josh, you know what it tells me, bro? It tells me inside information, bro. You know what I mean? Why I see inside information? Because I see that people know that off the grid, that game, the Godzilla games, right? The off the grid game, right? Is launching. And they told me on my previous interview with them, they're going to launch by end of Q1. And you know, end of Q1 is like, it's literally around the corner, bro. So that means to me that people are now telling you that AVAX, that off the grid is launching. Now, when that happens, gaming will get a pump, super will get a pump, gaming will get a pump, and AVAX will get a pump. And it's, I mean, look, I'm not allowed to show messages online because then people won't give me information. But the dude literally said to me, bro, he said, it's coming Q1, bro. You heard the interview. There was an interview on Banter. Now the same guy is telling me like it's happening. It's like, it's Q1. So, look at AVAX, and if you want to trade something cool in this bounce, AVAX may be a good one to trade, right? Because it plays that whole L1 narrative. There's a whole gaming narrative, which is, Charles knows. He knows that I know, and I just can't say. So just read between the lines, people. Read between the lines. I did post it in Front Runners. For those of you in Front Runners and you are listening, I also posted this one in Front Runners. This token is going to be, so I've got four kids. This is my fourth kid's university and endowment fund. Is this SQD token? Because I remember you faded me when I said to you at 6 cents, buy SQD.
I did not fade, I just sold too early.
And then I said to you guys, buy SQD. I did post it in Front Runners. I still think SQD has legs, believe it or not. I still think it has legs, even though it's doubled since I called it in this market. Again, that was another call that I put in the Front Runners. For those of you who want to join Front Runners, next 24 hours, if you join Front Runners, you get a free Bitfunded account. For those of you who don't know what Bitfunded is a prop trading firm, which means that you literally trade with other people's money. So you put in, like, let's say you want a $10,000 account, you pay $100, If you can get 8% in the first stage, 5% in the second stage, stage three, you're trading with somebody else's money. If you sign up for Frontrunners today using this link over here, then you will automatically get a free Bitfunded challenge. Believe it or not, that's what we're doing at the moment. Only valid for 24 hours, not after 24 hours, not after 24 hours. So yeah, let's look at some other altcoins that are moving. So Sonic moving, Render, I have no idea why Render's moving. Maybe you guys can tell me in the chat. For those of you who can answer very quickly, maybe you can get your own show on Banter, because sometimes we don't know everything. Then AVAX, Athena running because stablecoins and because that yield thing that I showed you earlier. So that's why Athena's running. I wouldn't be surprised if Super's running. Where's Super? I wouldn't be surprised if it's running. You know why? Because people are going to start anticipating this off the grid launch. Where? And if it's not running, probably you should buy it. Okay, you see it's up 15%. See, it's up 50. Yeah, you see, ladies and gentlemen, remember what I told you here today. There's going to be a gaming run in the next 40 days. And the reason why there's going to be a gaming run is because Off the Grid's going to launch and it's going to send the whole gaming market into a bit of a tizz. I have no idea why Wormhole's down. Why is Wormhole down 12%? I have no idea why Wormhole's down 10%. If anybody knows, just tell me. Someone says thumbnail game, sir. Powerful thumbnail game? Yes. Oh, Bruno. It's Bruno, bro. He made the thumbnails. He's the guy that... we've come to a point where the only people that are actually commenting here is the people that work at Banter. It's Bruno, the thumbnail guy. He's saying the thumbnail guy is powerful. Then Andre is saying the researchers game is powerful. And Bitcoin just broke 88,000. We can help. We can each do our bit. Alessandro says, the reason why W is down is because it was up 40% yesterday. You trade the Sunday pump. You take the Monday dump. I'll see you guys again tomorrow. Until then. Trade well, my friends.